might not have noticed it, but years and years and years and years, as the summer got over and everybody got through with all their summer travel and so forth, and as schools got back in session, the Lord would give me a new session to start off, you know, that season. And so I've got one for this year. I don't know, it's going to be 7, 8, 9, 10, we'll see. And I'm excited about it. I probably should wait a couple of weeks, you know, still have a vacation, let the kids get back in good, let what's that holiday that's fixing to come up come, you know, let pass that. But you know me, I can't stand it, so we'll review it enough so we'll get it out over and over again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We don't forget the men's fellowship. Amen. August 1st is tomorrow. So we have, you want to say something about that? Brother Tony, just, huh? Everybody be there. Praise God. Amen. It's always a good time. Praise God. And then I want to tell you about, you know, I think it was just last Sunday I mentioned the book Maximize Manhood. And I was shocked that only a couple of people had read that book. And so we were able to get those books in this week. Praise God. Got them in real, real fast. So that book is out there. Let me see. I got some stuff about this here. Glory to God. This is a real good book. Everybody ought to read this book, including the ladies. I mean, it is a book to men, but including the ladies. Outstanding book. And I've always said every man ought to read this book, you know, and reread it. And then about once every 3 or 4 years, pick it back up and read it again. And, you know, I like Ed Cole, you know, he said, people said, well, you just had instant success. He said, yeah, it only took me 40 years. He said, I was an overnight 40-year success. And he has the Playboy problem. There's a hole in the door. Is there a priest in the home? Video Daddy, our father, meaning the natural father, who art inactive. And Ed Cole has a way of stepping all over your toes in love, and you like it. I was like, do it again. You like it. I wish I had that ability. I don't, but he can. He can. And it's really, really good. So we got that book in there. So that book online, you know, now somebody says, I can get it for $4.25. I'm talking about new. Online, this book cost about $11 to $13. So we're selling it for $9. Both of these books I want to talk about that we have out there, this is below our cost. This is our cost, no tax for you. And this is actually, we're losing about 50 cents on every book. But you know, our bookstore exists for one reason and one reason only, and that's to get the Word of God into people's hands, to get godly material, godly teaching into people's hands. And over the years, our bookstore has sold or given away literally thousands and thousands of books. And sometimes it's $200 in the hole, and sometimes it's $600 in the hole, and sometimes it's, you know, $200 to the good. So it's the only purpose in it is to get good material into people's hands. And then I'm really excited about this book. And if we need more of these books, we will get them. Just sign up there and say, get me another one. We can get as many as we need because, you know, if anybody's ever been in the bookstore business, and we are not, but you know, we don't need to have $200 worth of inventory lying around on a book that's not selling because, like I said, we just kind of do good to break even because we're trying to get material into people's hands. And so if we need more, we will get more because we had a few of these and a few of these and two or three of them have already been sold, I noticed. But this one I'm very excited about. This is by Eddie Turner. This book is 2021, so it's hot off the press. The title of it is Conquering the Chaos in Your Mind. Conquering the Chaos in Your Mind. Eddie Turner, I know him. We're not best of friends, but I know Eddie. Actually, when I was the Rhema district director, I had him come to a meeting, and he spoke to about 100 pastors here. Eddie was interesting because Eddie's an Assembly of God. He was the I forget what they call their directors, statewide directors. That's a full-time paid job where that's all they do. Very important, significant position. And he held that position, superintendent, I think, for the Assemblies of God for the state of Tennessee. And he currently pastors a church in Crossville. And Eddie pastors churches usually members of 2,000 member churches. And so Eddie came and spoke to our men. The reason I had him come speak was because he's a good speaker, but also because all of Eddie's associates were Rhema graduates. His associate pastor was a Rhema graduate. His teen pastor was a Rhema graduate. His children's pastor was a Rhema graduate. His missions director was a Rhema graduate. The only person that wasn't a Rhema graduate was you know, his praise and worship leader. He said, y'all don't know but one song out there. I got it. You know, so he had a different praise and worship leader. And that was 15 years ago, you know. But this book is tremendous. I didn't know about this book. And I was talking to Mark and Robin Six. You know, they were here Wednesday before last. I was talking to them about a situation. And they said, man, they need to hear from Eddie Turner. Eddie Turner, because, you know, he has some reputation and he's known. When he was just 27, 28 years old, the devil began to attack his mind, and he began to yield to wrong thinking and, you know, wrong thoughts, and just got totally obsessed with those thoughts. And, you know, the devil built up a stronghold in his mind in certain areas, and he had panic and fear and anxiety and other thoughts that just controlled his life to the point that he could not hardly leave his house. And so Jesus appeared to him. And then later, Jesus appeared, took him up to heaven. He appeared to him, then some months later, Jesus took him up into heaven. And so this book, when it comes to 2 Corinthians 10 about, you know, spiritual warfare as far as casting down wrong imaginations and thoughts and dealing with strongholds and so forth, one of the absolute best books I have ever read along those lines, without a shadow of a doubt. Something I'm always very interested in. People hurt mentally and emotionally just as much as they hurt physically in their physical bodies with sickness and disease. So, you know, we all deal with uninvited thoughts. We all are involved in renewing our minds. We all deal with you know, all kinds of thoughts. But this, and so that's good for any and all of us, praise God. But then, you know, sometimes people are just dealing with obsessive thoughts, controlling thoughts, addictive thoughts, and not just sinful thoughts, but insecure thoughts, fear thoughts, depressive thoughts, crazy thoughts of all kinds. And so this book is really, really good along those lines. I'll read from it a little bit this morning, but really, really good along those lines, and it's outstanding. And we might even take a Wednesday night and let him, I know he did a radio interview where he talks a lot about this, and then you know, let you see that. But Conquering the Chaos of Your Mind by Eddie Turner. I noticed online at Amazon it sells from $13 to $16. And again, we can give it to you for $10. Like I said, that's our cost, even a little below our cost. And if we need more, we will get them. But I highly encourage you to get both of those. They'll be a blessing to you. Can you say amen? Praise God. Dealing with thoughts. Glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, are you ready for the Word of God this morning? Amen. Me too. Let's turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark 4, we're going to look at verses 26 through 29. There are many other scriptures along these lines, and we will get to them because this is a new series that I'm calling Real and Lasting Victory or Real and Lasting Results. Praise God. Amen. Real and Lasting Victories are Real and Lasting Results. And in Mark chapter 4, verse number 26, Mark 4, 26, and he, that's Jesus, said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, and he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come." Amen. Well, when a seed is planted and left in the ground, and then Jesus doesn't specifically say it here, but he said it in other places, and the Bible says it in other places, when that seed is nourished, when that seed is watered, when that seed is taken care of, when it's planted and left in the ground and nourished and watered, it will produce a harvest. We know that from the Word of God. We know that from science. We know that from experience. Amen. It will produce a harvest. Jesus said, first the blade, then the head, and after that, the full grain in the head. This is all a process. Everybody say process. This is all a process that takes time. Amen. A process that takes time. In other words, you don't plant a seed and suddenly you have a full-grown watermelon. Just doesn't work that way. Amen. That's why Paul, for instance, in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, tells us, in due season. You know when due season is? Almost always later than you want it to be. But in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody made the observation about seed time and harvest. They said this. They said, seed, time, and harvest. Glory to God. And that's true in all areas of life, not just in the financial area. Amen. It's a process that takes time to grow and develop and mature in the kingdom of God. Jesus is telling us how the kingdom works. To grow and develop in the kingdom of God, it's a process that takes time. to sow the word of God in our hearts and develop faith for healing or faith for deliverance or faith for finances or faith for anything. It's a process that takes time. To sow a financial seed and receive a financial harvest is a process that takes time. To renew our minds to some truth of the Word of God, or to overcome a stronghold of some kind of wrong thinking, is a process that takes time. Everybody say it's a process that takes time. Certainly, we see instant manifestations of God at times, and that's exciting, that's wonderful. Glory to God, hallelujah. We see supernatural demonstrations of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit that happen. You know, we don't make that happen. That happens as the Lord wills. But those things are usually instantaneous, suddenlies, we call them. Don't you like those suddenlies where God just instantaneously provides something or miraculously does something for you? Amen. When we first got involved in ministry, we lived off instantaneous miracles financially, or we'd have starved to death. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so we like those things, amen? And we thank God for those things. We see those things to deliver people, to heal people, to make people whole, and thank God for it. But we have not understood this like we should have. We don't plant the Word of God in our heart and then suddenly and instantly just enjoy all the benefits of God's Word. No, we put the Word in, and the process begins, the seed grows, and over time, as we nourish that seed, we experience fruit eventually. And there's nothing sudden about it, day in and day out. It's a process that requires consistency. It's a process that requires effort. It's a process that requires time. And it's a process that requires work. But the fruit is real, and the fruit is lasting. Amen. The problem is we don't like process and we don't like time. Amen? No, it's just a whole lot easier to pop it in the oven and 2.5 minutes later get out the meal. That's quite different than Margaret spending half the day when our family all comes together. It's like 16 or 17 now, and she's got to, bake a ham, and she's got to make a vegetable, and she's got to do potatoes, or she's got to do macaroni and cheese, and she has to do a salad, and she's baking cakes and baking pies, and it takes her all day. It's a process, but man, it sure is good when we eat it. Glory to God. It sure is worthwhile when we eat it. And there's nothing that tastes sweeter than real victory. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Like I said, we don't like process. We don't like time. And it's not nearly exciting as instant manifestations. You know, when I came along in the early days, being around Pentecostal folks, the only testimonies you would ever hear from them, by and large, they would tell you some wonderful, miraculous, supernatural happenings that got somebody healed or helped somebody or delivered somebody. But they were all gifts of the Spirit. In other words, there was no rhyme or reason to it. They didn't make it happen. Just God suddenly and instantaneously moved by His Spirit to heal somebody or to deliver somebody or to help somebody in some way. But they seemed to know very, very little, at least the Pentecostal circles I was around, about somebody believing the Word of God for themselves, amen, and developing their faith and using their faith to get what they need from God at any time they needed it. Praise God. Amen. And so then I came along, and the teaching ministry was all of a sudden exploded. You know, God, by His Spirit, there was really a revival of the teacher, the God-called teacher in the body of Christ, and the Word of Faith was in full force. And all of a sudden on Christian TV and Christian periodicals and magazines and testimonies, you would hear person after person after person after person telling about some of the most dynamic miracles and testimonies I've ever heard in my life. But it wasn't a manifestation of the Spirit of God. In other words, it wasn't a gift of healing or supernatural manifestation. It happened because people took the Word of God, learned the Word of God, which took time and took effort. They put the Word of God in their heart. They resisted the devil. They stood on the Word, and they got some of the most fabulous miracles and miraculous things happen in their lives that I have ever heard about. I mean, here's somebody that their kid's in underwater for 17 minutes without oxygen, and the doctor says they'll never come back. You know, they'll never regain consciousness. And if they do, they're dead. They're brain dead. They'll never live. Yet they lived, and they're fine, and they excelled in life. No gift of the Spirit, because they knew the Word of God, stood on the Word of God, and believed the Word of God. So you got to where you'd hear a lot of those stories. And doctors would say, you know, sometimes, you know, doctors would say, this is the greatest miracle I've ever seen. Super, you know, people would be gloriously taken care of in their finances. And people experienced great deliverances just because they stood on the Word of God. Amen. And then in the midst of all of that, we were having, you know, gifts of the Spirit and manifestation and so forth. But it's just, you know, it seems to me like we've kind of gotten away from that a little bit. Even when I get around, I was around some full gospel ministers not too long ago. And it seemed like they tried to outdo each other with stories of miraculous suddenlies and instantaneous manifestations of the Spirit of God. And none of their stories were testimonies of people being delivered and healed and set free just because they believed the Word of God, just because they took control of their minds for themselves. It was all just miracles. But the only problem with that is these things are not the norm, and they don't work for everybody, and they never have, and they never will. Thank God for them, but anybody can learn the Word of God for themselves and be totally victorious in every single area of life all the time. You know, Brother Hagin was a true prophet. He had supernatural manifestation of the Spirit operating in his life on a more consistent basis as the Spirit willed. Now, the reason I say it that way is on a more consistent basis is because, you know, he was a prophet and he was a teacher and he was a called by God to that. And so those things would happen regularly and consistently in his life. He couldn't make them happen, but they happen as the Spirit wills. But the reason I say more consistently is because, you know, if you're a prophet, you're going to operate in the word of knowledge. You're going to operate in the word of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. And you're going to have discerning of spirits. And you're going to operate in those lines on a more basis that somebody else that's not a prophet, that might happen to them every once in a while, but it would happen to him consistently. And I'm telling you, when he moved in the Spirit, you had great confidence that this was really God. You really did if you were around him. You had great confidence it was God. But on the other hand, he'd be the first person to tell you. He said, now don't misunderstand me. He said, I've been to the hospital room before where I prayed for somebody and within 45 minutes, they're dead. He said, you know, I walked in, I've never met them. They never met me. They're unconscious. And he said, I don't have any manifestation of the Spirit. The Spirit of God doesn't move on me a particular way. And he says, I can't teach them the Word of God. They're unconscious. They can't even listen to what I have to say. And if they were awake, they're within an hour of being dead, you know. You're sucking wind. You're not going to have the time to teach them things. It would take 6 months to teach them if they were very studious. Now, I say that with a realization. I'm not trying to prompt him up, but, you know, he doesn't talk about raising people from the dead, but there must be at least 25 cases that I personally know about where he was dealing with somebody that they were on death's door. They were going to die within 2 hours. They were going to die 3 hours. They were going to die before morning. And he raised those people up off their deathbed. Glory to God. But yet he would say this. He'd say, thank God for, this is what he said now. He said, thank God for special manifestations of the Spirit. I long for them. I desire them. And then what I'm going to say right now is that's a direct quote. I'm going to paraphrase some things, but I promise you that this is accurate. He said, I have seen spectacular results in people's lives just because they got a hold of the word of faith for themselves. And he says, that thrills me to no end. He says, that thrills me to no end. And he says, this is the primary way that people receive. Gifts of the Spirit are a sign of God's presence among us. They're a sign to unbelievers, and they happen for one here and one here and one over there. But that's not the primary way that a believer should receive his healing. It doesn't work for everybody. It never has, and it never will. Heard him say that many times. And he said, people receive their miracle, their healing, their breakthrough, and they keep it most of the time because they learn the Word of God for themselves, they're taught the Word of God, and they know what to do when they act on the Word of God. He said, that's the way you can receive your miracle, and that's the way you can receive your healing, and you can keep it. The reason I say keep it is because that's a big problem. It's a big problem going back to the healing revival. It's a big problem today. People get prayed for, and something wonderful happens to them, and you see them 2 weeks later, and they lost it. They didn't keep it. They didn't keep their deliverance. They didn't keep their freedom. They didn't keep their healing. Amen. And so he said, sudden, instant, special manifestations of the Spirit don't happen for everybody in every situation, and they never will. And sometimes when they do, if people are not taught to maintain what they received, they often lose it. And he said, it just thrills me. It just thrills me to see people get a hold of the word and get it miraculous results. They know how they got it and they know how to keep it. Glory to God. Amen. See, it's one thing to know how to get it, but you got to know how to keep it. And if you get it on somebody else's faith through a gift of the Spirit, and then you're not taught properly, the devil comes back in with the same sickness, the same mental problem, and tries to put it back on you. If you don't know what to do about it, then he'll probably be successful in putting it back on you. But when people know the truth makes them free. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, here's a story from Eddie Turner, because he points out some of these things in his book. And I like this story. He said, in the early days of our little church in Allgood, the resources were lean. We learned to pray that familiar passage in the famous Lord's Prayer that says, give us this day our daily bread, because we didn't live from week to week. We lived from day to day. So instead of starving, we decided to try our hand at gardening. I asked a neighbor to bring his tiller over to my house and turn up a small garden spot about 30 by 30 feet. Then Amanda and I went to the local co-op and asked the manager for suggestions on what to plant. He suggested green beans, tomatoes, a bunch of potatoes, squash, and okra. So that's what we bought. We spent an entire Friday working in our little garden. We planted every seed we had and each tomato slip. We watered each plant and added some nutrients to each seed spot. On our hands and knees, we crawled through the garden, making sure that there were no weeds or hard-packed dirt that would prohibit our seeds from coming up. After we finished, we held hands and asked the Lord to bless our garden. We reached our hands out over our garden spot and declared it was blessed and our seed would produce fruit. Dirty and tired, Amanda and I walked hand in hand into our little home, feeling a great sense of satisfaction and expectancy. The next morning, I awoke to the sun shining through the window. I got out of bed and walked by the bedroom window, and something caught my attention. I did a double take. Something was in our garden. I walked to the window and looked outside, but I couldn't believe what I saw. In our little garden we had just planted, I saw what appeared to be full-grown watermelon, a couple of cantaloupes, several cucumbers spread out, and what appeared to be a head of cabbage. I rubbed my eyes and looked again. Sure enough, those fruits and vegetables were lying in my garden. Excitedly, I yelled for Amanda to get up and come look. She jumped out of bed thinking something was wrong and walked to the window. "Look what's in our garden," I said. As she was looking and laughing, I had already run for the back door to go outside and get a first-hand look. As I trotted down to the garden spot, my mind was racing with all types of thoughts. God has done a miracle. Our prayer of faith has worked. This is going to be a remarkable story. I can relate to that as a minister. I mean, you experienced something wonderful and your need got supernaturally met and you're excited about that, but I'm also thinking, boy, this is going to be a really good story. And things like that do happen. He said, but the closer I got to our garden, I noticed what appeared to be the footprints of sneakers and shoes in the dirt all around the garden spot. By that time, Amanda walked up beside me laughing. Then it dawned on me, some of our friends who heard what we were doing came during the night and put those things in our garden. The joke was on us. After laughing for a few minutes, I realized how silly I must have looked running outside in such excitement. Anyone who has half a brain knows you don't plant okra and get a harvest of cucumbers. You don't plant tomatoes and get potatoes. And you definitely don't plant squash and get cabbage or watermelons. In addition to that, every gardener knows you don't plant on Friday and get a harvest on Saturday. It takes time for the seed to produce the desired results. Amen. Man, it would have been exciting for the gardener to have produced a harvest overnight. It's exciting when Jesus turned the water into wine. I've heard of such stories. It was exciting when the thick walls of Jericho, so thick that they reportedly had chariot races on top of them. It was exciting when they fell down flat when the people shouted. They shouted. Walls fell down flat. It was exciting. You know, I love the story. There's so many stories, but I love the story of Jehoshaphat. You know, he was one of the kings of Israel. And so three different armies came against Jehoshaphat and the Israelites to kill him, to destroy him, to annihilate him. They're in their battle gear. They got their horses. They got their chariots. They got their swords out. They got blood in their eyes. You know, they're ready to kill him and annihilate him. And so all these three different armies came out. And keep this in mind. Every battle that Israel fought is just a type and shadow of our victory against our real enemy, the devil. They had victory. As long as they were keeping covenant with God, walking in their covenant, God promised them absolute victory over every enemy and in every battle they ever fought. Glory to God. Just a type and shadow of the real spiritual battles that you and I fight today against our enemy. And thank God we're promised victory over the enemy every time. Can you say amen? And so it was real exciting, you know. And so here's what they did. Three armies, totally outnumbered the Israelites. Three armies joined together to come against them. And so Jehoshaphat sent out singers ahead of the army to sing praises to God. So, I mean, get the picture. Three armies, you know, coming to kill you. And in front of Israel's army, you know, here's these singers. And so as the singers begin to sing and shout and give praise to God, God calls the enemy to become confused and fearful, and they got in a panic, and the two of them joined forces and turned on the third one and killed them. And after they killed them, they turned on each other and killed them. You can read this all in 2 Chronicles 20, by the way. And then for three days, the Israelites stripped the dead soldiers of precious jewelry, it says, and of all kind of valuables. In other words, it took them 3 days to get the spoils, three full days. So their enemy was defeated without them lifting a finger, and they spent 3 days gathering up all the spoil because there was so much. That's victory with a capital V. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? And certainly this story illustrates the power of praise. So the walls of Jericho fell down flat. They didn't attack them and knock them down and defeat the city. The walls fell down flat. Three armies bent on destroying Israel were defeated as the people praised God. But listen, 99% of the time, 99.5% of the time, probably at least, God gave Israel victory over their enemies as they trained their soldiers and they sharpened their blades and they got on their horses and they got on their chariots. One scripture, you know, says the horse is prepared. The battle is the Lord's, but the horse is prepared. You know, they got on their horses. They worked with their chariots. They trained themselves and they went out as trained soldiers to face the enemy, to fight and do battle, trusting in their covenant with God. And they got the victory over their enemies. That's how they won 99.5% of their battles. Not because the walls just suddenly fell down flat. Amen. You know, Jesus multiplied a few fish and loaves on two different occasions and fed thousands of people. One time, 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And another time, a few loaves and fishes to feed 4,000 men, not counting the women and children. Whoo, glory to God. A couple of times, he gave his disciples a sudden, miraculous catch of fish. Cast your net on the other side. You don't think those Jews ate all those fish, do you? Peter and Andrew and James and John, they were fishermen. They sold those fish at the market. Another time, you know, to pay their taxes, he sent Peter to go and catch the first fish, and you know, there was a coin in his mouth to pay their taxes. Glory to God. But 99.9% of the time, Jesus and his disciples ate food that was purchased at a store that somebody cooked and prepared for them. That came in because they believed God and trusted God for provision. In other words, somebody would invite him, you know, he not just Jesus, but Jesus and his whole team, 12 people and a few women and three or four others, and you know, who knows how many at times, they'd invite them into their home, they would feed them. Well, that's nice because that met their need and didn't cost them a dime. Somebody invites you out to lunch today and pays for it. That's nice, isn't it? It doesn't cost you a dime, and you get to eat something nice. But most of the time, the disciples went out and purchased food to buy. You know where they got the money to purchase that food? Because Jesus had people that supported his ministry on a regular basis, on a consistent basis. And they supported his ministry because he trusted God to supply his every need. And that's the way he got his food and bought the things that he needed 99% of the time. I could go on and on and on, but I see this is really exciting you. Amen. Glory to God. Day in and day out, our success, our victory, our provision is the result of regularly and consistently doing the Word. It's miraculous, but it's a process. It's as we consistently, diligently believe the word and stand on the word of God and let patience, endurance, let patience have its perfect work that we experience healing and provision and good mental health and victory over sin and the devil. It's as we regularly put the word in our hearts and guard it and not let it be stolen from us and take care of it and water the seed, amen, and guard our minds from demonic thoughts and give offerings on a regular basis and fight the good fight of faith and resist the devil and bring every thought into captivity. It's as we consistently and diligently do these things that we grow and mature and get answers to prayer. And like I said, experience healing and provision and good mental health and victory over sin and victory over the devil. It's a process that requires time and effort. Process, time, effort, diligence, determination, hard work are not overly popular words, even in the church. Amen. But they are the keys to real and lasting results in victory. Without question, freedom and victory in every single area of life is available to every single Christian. Glory to God. But it requires that we do some things. Now, please don't misunderstand. Listen. Being diligent and working hard and so on, listen carefully, being diligent and working hard does not earn God's blessings and favor. It just puts us in a position to receive from God. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, when you exercise faith, you receive. Jesus has already won the battle. You just received the victory. But you have to plant the Word of God in your heart, and you have to study the Word of God, and you have to meditate in the Word of God, and you have to put the Word of God before your eyes and think on it, and you know, in order to get faith. Amen. And listen to this. To stop the devil's attacks against our minds, and therefore give him no place in our lives. Glory to God. Takes diligence. And the effort and determination and diligence that it takes to get right things in our heart and to keep wrong things out of our mind can be difficult and can be hard work. I said it can be difficult and it can be hard work. In his book that I mentioned, Eddie Turner, Conquering the Chaos in Your Mind, he talks about how when Jesus appeared to him, I mean, he had just left a restaurant, rushed out of a restaurant because he just could not take it, left his wife and little boy in tears and said, "Take me home, take me home, take me home." And he's crying out to God, "God help me, God help me." And Jesus appeared to him and told him some things. And he said, after that visitation, he said, for the next 3 or 4 months, I lived off that high. And he said, I had no problems. But he said, but then the thoughts came back. You know, Jesus said, when an evil spirit leaves, he said, the thought came back. And then he said, I had to do what almost, you know, sometimes people are instantly delivered and thank God for that. And that's it. He said, but I had to do what almost every believer has to do. He said, I had to daily control my thoughts and resist the devil and cast down wrong imaginations. And I had to do it day in and I had to do it day out. And I had to do it over a period of months. Amen. I said amen. So the effort and determination and diligence it takes to get right things in our heart and to take every wrong thought captive can be difficult and hard work. I know process is not popular. I know work is not popular. I know difficult is not popular. But here's the point I want to make right here is the effort and determination I'm talking about is not willpower. Not willpower. But the diligence and effort it takes just to get a revelation, just to guard your mind, just to do what the Word of God tells you to do and to do it consistently and to do it regularly and to do it, you know, faithfully. That just takes diligence. Amen. It takes time to learn how to resist the devil. It takes time to learn what your spiritual weapons actually are. And it takes time and effort to actually use your spiritual weapons against the enemy when he attacks your mind. Amen. Here's something. Brother Hagin. In 1939, my wife and I accepted the pastorate of a church in North Texas. I'd been among Pentecostal people for about 2 years. I'd seen them conduct every kind of service you could think of. I started having deliverance services every Saturday night. We prayed for the people to get delivered. We laid hands on them. We anointed them with oil. And we had just about every kind of manifestation imaginable. That went real well for a while. But after about 3 months, the crowd began to wane. Deliverance began to get old to them. So I decided to change the name of it. We were doing the same thing. But instead of calling it deliverance, I called it getting free services. But I noticed that everyone who had gotten delivered in the last 90 days all came back now to get free. That went well for a while too, before the novelty of it began to wear off. Then I decided we'd have to do something else. So I announced that we were going to start having loosening services every Saturday night. That ran for about 90 days, and I noticed that the same people who came 6 months previously to get delivered and 3 months after that to get free came back now to get loosened. I could see these people were not getting delivered because we'd been having these deliverance, getting free, and loosening meetings for 9 months. They weren't any more loosened than the day we started. We had every kind of manifestation imaginable. We had people shout, jump, holler, and even jump over pews. They were so thrilled. And yet these people were no more free or delivered than when we started. I said to myself, I'm the pastor. I visit these people. I talk to them every day. And they're not free. If that's all being delivered, loosened, or getting free means, then you can shout at church, but just be just as bound as you were before at home. These meetings are not worth anything. So I began to fast and pray and seek the Lord about this. About the third day of my fast, the Lord said to me, you're trying to get results through prayer, through laying on of hands, through anointing with oil, through shouting and praising that only my word will bring. You see, all of our praying, shouting and jumping or whatever we're doing needs to be in line with God's word. It needs to be because God's word. In other words, you don't get delivered because you shout, but because you believe you're delivered, then you shout. And sometimes you do that by faith, but you know there is a difference in trying to get free by, you know. Whatever we're doing needs to be in line with God's word. It needs to be done because God's word has gone forth first. If we're not careful, we can substitute a lot of things that may be good and legitimate in some sense for the word of God. During that fast, the Lord brought me to the scripture, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said, people receive temporary help, and they get blessed momentarily because they are honest and because they're seeking me. But the thing that will permanently bless people is to know the truth of my word. The word is anointed. And when you know God's word, the anointed word will set you free. It will permanently bless people. Wow. And he talks about how he went on to do that, you know, and train the people and teach the people and bring them the word. And he said, you know, I saw those people 20 and 30 years later. He said they got free and they got delivered and they got healed and they were still healed and they were still delivered and they were still free. Amen. So in this series, what we really want to do is we want to emphasize two things. We want to emphasize how to get the word in our hearts. Because when you plant a seed and you take care of it, there's no such thing as that seed not producing. It's impossible for that seed not to produce. And God's word is a spiritual seed. So we want to talk about getting the word in our hearts. And we want to talk about how to stop wrong thoughts from getting into our mind. Because there's a lot of things you can talk about being led by the Spirit, this, that, and the other. But when it comes to day in and day out living, that's really two great keys to victory in any area of life. I want to be open to the word. I want to get the word in my heart. And I want to keep wrong thoughts out. Well, if you do that, man, you're a long way down the road. We want how to keep wrong thoughts out of, how to stop wrong thoughts, out of line with the word thoughts, impure thoughts, rogue, crazy thoughts out of our minds. We want to keep them from becoming a stronghold in our minds. And we want to see how to pull down strong symbols in my mind if they are there. And it's interesting because God in His Word in several places tells us exactly what we need to do in order to sow the Word in our hearts and keep it there in order to get a harvest of health, a harvest of peace, a harvest of joy, a harvest of finances, a harvest of deliverance. And then you see, here's what's interesting. The devil comes along. The devil is not a creator. He does not have an original thought. He is not wise. He is not nearly as smart as God. Not not anywhere close. And so he simply stole and perverted things that work in the kingdom of God. He steals those ideas. He steals those thoughts. He uses those spiritual principles. He twists them and perverts them and turns them around because he knows that God is smart, and he makes them work in the negative realm against people. And so he uses the same process that God uses to sow the word into our heart to produce victory and health and life in our lives. He uses that same process to try to establish strongholds in our mind. Oversimplifying, but God in his word tells us certain things. We learn the truth, we accept the truth, we meditate on the truth, and then light comes, revelation comes, and that truth gets in our heart and it produces victory in our life. Well, the devil comes along and he perverts that process and gives us a thought, and he wants us to think on that thought, and he wants us to entertain that thought, and if we think on that thought and entertain that thought, it turns into an imagination. Filled with wrong desires and influences and unsound thinking. Not just sinful thoughts, but the thoughts that nobody loves me. Thoughts that I got to take my life. Thoughts that I'm whatever, you know. And so he does that. And then if we think on that, and then if we keep thinking those wrong imaginations, it turns into a stronghold that he can use to control our life in that particular area. So the devil just twists and perverts the process that works in order to use it to harm us in some way. And it does require consistent effort and sometimes great effort to get God's word in our hearts. And it does require consistent effort and sometimes great effort to keep the devil's thoughts out of our mind. But it leads to real and lasting victory. And it leads to real and lasting results. Amen. I said amen. I've seen people get delivered, and I know the Spirit of God came on them, but a month later they're in the same boat. I've seen people go to some help centers where they stayed 3 months and come back and still in the same boat they were when they left. Because sooner and later, we're not talking about willpower, but sooner and later, every believer has to take control of his own thoughts, and he has to do that day by day, and he has to do it regularly, and he has to do it consistently. I always like what Gloria Copeland said. We'll close with this because we're out of time. But, you know, she said, in consistency lies the power. That's wonderful, isn't it? In consistency lies the power. I mean, you can look at your garage and you can think, man, this thing is in a mess. And it's in such a mess that it's going to take you about 40 hours to get it back where it should be. And so you go out there and work like a dog, like a madman for 4 hours, and then quit and then don't work on it anymore. Well, you work real hard for 4 hours, but, you know, if your husband walked in, they don't even know that you did anything yet. Or you can get out there and you can work on it an hour, and the next day when you get home, you can work on it for 30 minutes. The next day when you get home, you can work on it an hour, skip a couple of days. The next day, go out there and work on it an hour. The next day, go out there and work on it an hour. The next day, work on it 30 minutes. And then after about 2 weeks, you know, all of a sudden it begins to look like something. And if you do it regularly and consistent over 2 or 3 months there, then all of a sudden it's beautiful and it's wonderful. And you can see results. It's like losing weight, you know. You can fad diet and not eat anything for a week and, you know, go crazy for 2 weeks and get on Facebook and post about the 37 pounds you lost, which I don't know, that's scientifically impossible, but nonetheless. And I can see you 6 months later and you'll be 37 pounds bigger than you were originally. Or you can work on it consistently and regularly, and at the end of a whole week, you've lost 1.7 pounds. And the next week, you've lost 2.3 pounds. The next week, you've lost 3 pounds. The next week, you've lost 1.5 pounds. The next week, you've lost 2 pounds. But after about 3 months of that, people go, man, you've lost some weight. Because you could all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, but that's it looks all of a sudden, but you've lost 20 pounds. Why? Because in consistency lies the power. So we want to consistently and regularly put the word in our heart, and we want to consistently and regularly keep the devil's lies and perversions and thoughts out of our minds. Now, if you're totally obsessed by some thought, yes, a day comes when you, like Eddie Turner, where you're free, but you still have to deal with thoughts. You know, can't help who knocks on your door. You can't help because birds fly over your head. You know, that's the old saying. It goes back 400 years. But you don't have to let one build a nest in your hair. Glory to God. Let's stand up together. Thank you, Jesus. This is where we're going. Amen. I said amen. There's much to say about this, and we will as we go on and on and on. Everybody say it. Let's say inconsistency. Inconsistency. Lies the power. Boy, I tell myself that. I tell myself that. And I've done that. I've done that with my garage. You know, I've done that with my yard. This thing is a mess. I just, let's just go inside and watch the Braves. Or let's work on it for 10 minutes. But just do it consistently and regularly. And then all of a sudden, glory to God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All of a sudden, you lose 25 pounds like Miss Parker did. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's no secret how we put it on. And it's no secret how you get it off. I'm not saying it's easy, but you know, it's not easy. One time I lost about 26 pounds. And then, man, I just went out and ate a really visiting with people and ate a big lunch and ate breakfast and ate a big dinner. And I thought I was going to weigh the next morning. I thought I was going to weigh 26 pounds more. But, you know, I only weighed like a half pound more. But because you don't put it back on just because you know. Say, my heart is open to God. My mind is closed to the devil. I'm a new creation. My old man is dead. I hunger for the truth. The truth makes me free. I reject every lie of the devil on a daily basis. I reject any out of line with the Bible thought that comes to my mind. And I do it over and over and over again. And I get up the next day and I do it over and over and over again. And greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. In Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Guy came to my office one time, you know. The deliverance ministry was real popular at that time. He roared. He ripped off his shirt. Crawled around on the floor. Look at me every time he'd do something, you know. Not with demonic eyes, but just human eyes. And I said, none of that impressed me, bud. Doug and Heather are taking Daisy down to college for, you know, he's a sergeant on the deputy sheriff and all his buddy, because he said every once in a while somebody on the force will get all, not the force, but somebody they're arresting will be all glassy-eyed and demonic looking and start talking spiritual stuff and wicked evil stuff. And he said, all my guys will start just backing up like, oh my God. He said, I'll just walk over to them, put my finger in their face and say, you know, in essence, say, greater is He that's in me that's in you, and none of that impresses me. And you might as well just shut up in the name of Jesus. He said, all his guys were like, oh my God, oh my God. And they always back down. Does the greater one live in you?
Yes.
Is he greater than the devil? By far, by far, by far. Is the name of Jesus greater than the devil?
Yes.
One time somebody told me that Anton LaVey was moving to Cleveland. I don't know why that went around Cleveland. Anybody remember that? That went all, you know, he's a colonel. Actually, in those days, he was a colonel, I think, in the Air Force or something. You know, he wrote the Satanic Bible. And they're all spooked out and weird and afraid. I said, good! I said, I hope he moves next door to me. Oh my God! He wrote the Satanic Bible. Big whoop. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I wish I had a magic pill just to take away every problem you had. And God supernaturally in the middle of the night said, go to your cupboard, and there's one for enough for everybody that comes to church this morning. And I'd take four for myself right off the bat. And thank God for supernatural manifestations and demonstrations of the Spirit that do bless and help people. Glory to God. But thank God for His Word. Thank God we can put the Word in and keep the devil's thoughts out. But it is a process. Most of the time, it takes time. Most of the time, it takes diligence. Most of the time, it takes hard work. And most of the time, it takes effort. But total freedom and total victory is available to every single person, every single time. In Jesus' name. I told Margaret the other day, she said, I understand what you're saying. That's a good point. She said, you know, every once in a while, something, you know, back pain or something. It just, I mean, intense. But then it goes away, and I resist it, and I resist it, and I resist it for 10 days. Then it goes away for 3 days, and I resist it. And then it goes away, then I resist it. Then 2 weeks later, I resist it. Then 6 months later, I resist it. Then a year and a half later, it comes back. Then all of a sudden, it's gone, and it's gone forever. But anywhere during that process, I was tempted to think a lot of times, oh, well, you're just going to have that every once in a while. You might as well just accept it. No. I'm not going to accept it in Jesus' name. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. I'm preaching to you as much as I am to me. Amen. If you're saved and you know it, lift both hands. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's go and be doers of the word. Can you say amen? Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, Lord Jesus.